This is Road to Calvary with Pastor Dave Cook of Calvary Baptist Church. On today's edition.
One of the things that we've talked about pride, we say that pride is not thinking highly of yourself, because those who are always saying, woe is me, it's still pride. The issue is not that we need to think more of ourselves or think less of ourselves, we just need not to think of ourselves at all. In regards to personal offense against himself, Jesus never retaliated. He was never vindictive. When he was mocked and spat upon, what was his response? He said nothing.
What does it mean to be meek? You might be listening and think that meekness is synonymous with weakness. If you're meek, you probably let everyone just push you around. That's what the world thinks meekness is. You'll learn today from Pastor Dave that meekness is not weakness. In fact, it's quite the opposite. A biblical definition of meekness is strength under control. Does that describe your life? Are you a strong person who doesn't have to flex? As you listen today, ask the Lord to help you grow in meekness. Now, here's Pastor Dave in the book of Matthew chapter 5 as he begins his message, Blessed Are the Meek.
As we continue our series through the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to be talking about a character quality called meekness. And a Christian humorist by the name of J. Upton Dixon had a bit to say about this topic of meekness. He wrote a pamphlet called Cower Power, and he suggested that he was going to start an organization called Doormats, and that is an acronym that stands for the Dependent Order of Really Meek and Timid Souls. He said their logo was going to be a yellow caution light, and he said that their motto was going to be, the meek shall inherit the earth, if that's okay with everybody. He also joked that he had to give up his plan because someone objected. So they had one objection, he had to give it up. So obviously this guy was being lighthearted, he was kind of fishing for laughs, but truthfully, meekness is really not looked on very favorably in our society. The idea of meekness gives kind of the stigma of being a pushover or being even possibly a coward. The dictionary is not a whole lot of help as we see definitions like this: overly submissive or compliant, spiritless, tame. But is that the true biblical idea of meekness? Well, we don't have to guess on that because the Bible gives us a myriad of different examples throughout the scripture that we can look to of what true meekness is supposed to look like. Starting in verse 1 of Matthew 5, it says, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So as we look through this list of the Beatitudes, this list that we began looking through last week, and we referred to them, or as someone else had referred to them, as the beautiful attitudes of the kingdom, we see that these are qualities that are not exactly the norm in our culture. In fact, I think as we look at these characteristics seen in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, we see that these are actually more or less the exact opposite of the character qualities that are really celebrated in our culture, in our society. And as we saw last week, there's some seemingly paradoxical or contradictory statements here. But that shouldn't surprise us when we know that this comes from the teachings of Jesus. Throughout the gospel accounts, we read about all kinds of interesting teachings from Jesus that seem to be paradoxical. We read about things like the last being first. We look at giving is receiving. Dying is actually living. Losing is finding. The least is the greatest. Poor is actually rich. Weakness is actually strength. And serving is ruling. Jesus used contrasts like these frequently to get our attention and to help us to see essential spiritual truths that just aren't clear to our natural mind. So it really shouldn't shock us to hear Jesus say, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." If you're familiar with Darwin and his teachings, that certainly is the foundation of much of what our world focuses on and holds to today. Darwin advanced the principle of the survival of the fittest. And Jesus turns that on its head here, basically, and says, no, it's actually the survival of the meekest. Quite the reverse from what our world tries to tell us. Today, we see, by and large, in our world today, the positions of power and influence belong to those who are strong and self-sufficient, ambitious and aggressive, take charge kind of people. We don't see too many people today aspiring to be the meekest person in the room. The scripture says it's the meek that are the ones who truly will inherit the earth. So I think it's important for us as believers to look into this idea of meekness a bit. What exactly is meekness? What does it mean to be truly meek? Well, we need to understand first and foremost that meekness is not weakness. Right? To be meek is not to be weak. There's nothing about true meekness that includes cowardice or timidity or the willingness to have peace at any cost. It has nothing to do with indecisiveness. It has nothing to do with wishy-washiness or lack of confidence. It doesn't imply shyness or a withdrawn personality, and it can't be reduced simply to niceness. That being said, as we look at the use in classical Greek, even outside of Scripture, the use of the Greek word that's used in Scripture, that's translated meek or meekness, is used to describe tame animals. The New American Standard actually translates this word here as gentle. The Christian Standard Bible, a more recent translation, uses the word humble. And certainly our understanding of gentleness and humility would certainly be included within the biblical concept of meekness. But meekness also implies self-control. The person who's meek is not weak, they're strong, but they keep their strength under control. And as I mentioned, the Bible is full of examples of meekness. So let's take a few moments together and look at what we could refer to as the representation of meekness. And you'll see that as the first point on your study notes, the representation of meekness. Let's think for a moment about our heroes, the heroes that we as a culture kind of look to, the people that we go to the cinema to watch, that we go to the movies, or the people that we think of when we think of a hero. When you think of this typical movie hero, this action hero, do we see as a quality that kind of leaps to mind the quality of meekness? When I was in my teenage years, my young adult years, I really loved to watch Clint Eastwood movies, right? I loved the Clint Eastwood, the spaghetti westerns, and all of his different movies. And, I enjoyed watching him as an actor and in the movies. But I don't think we could say, with at least many of his movies, that he came across, his character that he portrayed came across as meek, right? What's the tagline, right? Go ahead, make my day, right? Not exactly a tagline for meekness. Also, in my growing up years, another big action movie hero was Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? I don't think, as you consider the him in the movie Predator or the Terminator movies or all these things, I don't think that you would go, man, what a meek gentleman. Even Kindergarten Cop wasn't really meek, right? Meek would not exactly be on his resume. What about the characters that continue to come back in the movies like James Bond or Jason Bourne? You know, these characters that we go, wow, they are so cool. You know, they don't exactly fit the characteristic of meek. Quite to the contrary, usually you see more of a brash or a cocky attitude, like I can take on anything because I am just that good. not exactly meekness. Now, these Beatitudes, now, first of all, these heroes that we look at in Hollywood, some of them do have some positive qualities. And don't misunderstand. They do have some good qualities oftentimes, but meekness isn't really one of them, right? Now, these Beatitudes were spoken by Jesus to his followers, to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount. But even though these are concepts Jesus is teaching, they're not new concepts at this time. He wasn't throwing out something completely new. We can see these ideas throughout the Old Testament as well. Certainly the idea of poverty of spirit we see throughout the Old Testament. We see the idea of mourning over sin, certainly in the Old Testament. You see that in the Psalms especially. In the case of this third beatitude, this idea of meekness, we see even similar wording to what Jesus says here in Psalm 37. Kevin read it a few moments ago. And in verse 11, it says, "But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace." Now, delighting in abundant peace sounds very much like those people are blessed, right? So very much a similar wording that we see in here in Matthew chapter 5. We'll come back to Psalm 37 a little later, but considering the importance that is placed on meekness, we really need to ask, do we see this quality in the biblical heroes, you know, the people that we see in Scripture? So as we kind of start out in the Old Testament, we look through, and the first person that springs to mind is the person who the Scripture actually refers to and says was very meek, more than all the people on the face of the earth, and that was said of Moses. Moses, if you know his story, he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised in royalty, and he very easily could have insisted on his rights as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, as Pharaoh's adopted grandson, but he chose instead, we see in Hebrews 11, to be mistreated along with the people of God. Of course, even before Moses, we have Abraham. Abraham was the one who God had called, who God had sent out. Moses invited, not only brought his wife with him, but invited his nephew Lot to come with him. And Moses certainly was the one who had been called out. He was the one who God had sent out. He was the one who was the elder in the family. He was the kind of the leader of their expedition out from their homeland. So he could have very easily exercised his rights and said, you know, I'm going to choose where I want to reside, where I want to live, and Lot, you can go whatever's left. But again, if you follow the story in Genesis, we see that that isn't what Abraham did. They came to a place where they needed to split, and Abraham said, all right, Lot, you look around, you pick whatever spot of land you want, and I'll go the opposite direction. He was demonstrating meekness. David knew he was anointed by God to be the next king. He knew that he was supposed to be the next king of Israel, and the current king, Saul, was trying to kill him, was hunting him down. And David had multiple opportunities to take Saul's life, to take his life into his own hands and end the threat. But David wouldn't do that. And it wasn't because of cowardice, right? No one, if you read the story of David, no one could accuse David of being a coward. We know that he had victory over the lion and the bear, he said, and we saw him fight against Goliath with nothing but five smooth stones. He only needed one, but five smooth stones and a little sling. He was not a coward, but he was meek. In the New Testament, we see a number of examples as well. Stephen, one of the first deacons, theoretically, preached the gospel to a hostile Jewish crowd. And when they took up stones and began to throw them at him because they didn't like what he was saying, Stephen asked God not to count their sinful actions against them. Stephen was displaying meekness. As an apostle, Paul was disrespected by the people in the church of Corinth, but yet we're told that he deals with them with an attitude of gentleness and meekness. But of course, as meek as Stephen and Paul were, they're only allowing their lives to be conformed to the example that was set by the one who's preaching this Sermon on the Mount, the person of Jesus Christ, because he is the perfect model of meekness. The Apostle Peter gives a great description of Jesus' meekness in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. He says this, "He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." Jesus was no coward. Jesus was not weak, but he was meek. Think about that beautiful passage of the attitude of Christ in Philippians 2, where Paul writes, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped." And so often, we not only as human beings, but even more so, I think, as Americans, we tend to focus on our rights, that we have these rights, and we're going to fight for these rights. Jesus had the rights of godhood, right? He had rights far beyond the rights of an American. He had the rights of godhood. He was the creator and is the creator of all that exists. But he didn't grasp onto those rights. Martin Lloyd-Jones said that a meek person, this is his part of his description of a meek person, a meek person does not assert himself, does not demand anything for himself. He doesn't look to his rights. He makes no demands for his position, his privileges, his possessions, or his status in life. He's not sensitive or always on the defensive and not always feeling sorry for himself. The idea of meekness, according to Martin Lloyd-Jones, is to be finished with yourself altogether. One of the things that we've talked about pride, we say that pride is not thinking highly of yourself, because those who are always saying, woe is me, it's still pride. The issue is not that we need to think more of ourselves or think less of ourselves, we just need not to think of ourselves at all. In regards to personal offense against himself, Jesus never retaliated. He was never vindictive. When he was mocked and spat upon, what was his response? He said nothing. When his friends betrayed and abandoned him, right? How often do we go to our friends and go, "I can't believe you did that to me. You didn't back me up." Man, no, they didn't back up Jesus. They went scattering. But yet, he didn't give them a harsh rebuke. Even when Peter denied him three times, and Jesus knew it was coming, Jesus restored him gently. When he was dying on the cross, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." However, in all of this, Jesus, who was meek and mild, was absolutely in control. And that shows his strength. This is how Jesus reacted to offenses against himself. But when it came to matters of faith, when it came to the welfare of others, Jesus was a bit more assertive. If you remember in the Gospels, you've probably seen this if you've read through, he rebuked the Pharisees pretty severely for their hardness of heart when they were objecting to him healing someone on the Sabbath. He was doing good for someone else, thinking of someone else and caring for them, and the Pharisees were ripping into him for it. He also rebuked the disciples when they tried to prevent the children from coming to him. Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple with a whip. And he called Peter Satan when Peter tried to deter Jesus from his mission headed toward the cross. And that was also a picture of the perfectly meek Jesus. The person who's meek has a gentle spirit and doesn't look to assert his personal rights, but he also possesses great strength and self-control, which is utilized through extending love rather than retaliation against people who do him evil. But he or she also stands up fearlessly in defense of others and of the truth as it fits the occasion. So as you kind of look back on this past week, or maybe you look back on this past month, or maybe you look back on this past year, do you see that quality in your life? Do you see meekness on display? People characterize you with that quality. Would they say, "Yeah, that guy, he's meek," or that young lady, she's meek. Has meekness even been on your radar? Is that something you even think about at all? Or are you caught up in grasping at your rights? For those of us that are parents, think about how, you know, we're raising our kids, right? Are you raising your kids to make sure that they get all that's coming to them, that they fight for what's theirs? Are you teaching them and modeling for them what it means to be meek? And I got to tell you, you know, I've said this many times, as I prepare lessons and messages and things, I mean, I guarantee you, I always impacted more than anyone else as I'm studying through it. And I can just say with complete honesty, I have been radically convicted this week as I've been studying and considering this concept of meekness. As I consider my own lack of meekness, I realize as I'm going through this and really meditating on this, how often I filter things through how they're going to affect me before I filter them through the lens of love. So how do we get there? How do we grow in meekness? Well, let's look for a few moments at what I'm calling the root of meekness. The root of meekness. If you look back at Psalm 37, which we were just talking about, and the Israelites who this psalm was written to, they were living in the land, but they didn't truly possess it because of the working of evil men. So what were they to do? What were they to do? Well, verse 3 of Psalm 37 tells them to trust in the Lord, the very beginning of verse 3. And verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. So this quality of meekness is born out of a heart that is trusting in God. If you look at 1 Peter 2:23 again, it says, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued what? Entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Jesus trusted in his Father completely. And we need to follow his example. In that same passage, it says we are to follow in his steps. When we trust that God has all things under the control of his sovereign hand, when we trust God's promise that he will bring all things to their proper end, when we understand that all things are being worked together for our ultimate good to conform us to the likeness of Christ, then we can be meek. We don't need to fight for our rights because this is not our home. We're just passing through on our journey to the celestial city, the place that Jesus is preparing for us. We don't need to focus on looking out for number one because our God will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Meekness is not a natural quality. It's not something that we just have. It's a gift produced by the Spirit of Christ. God doesn't make some people meek and then other people that just have different strengths. That's not the way it is. Meekness is a quality that all Christians, all followers of Christ, are to be exhibiting and continually growing in. Let me be clear, none of us have it down, right? The only person who was perfectly meek on this planet was Jesus Christ himself. None of us have it down, but we should be ever increasing in meekness. That should be always growing in the lives of a true follower of Christ. Meekness only comes through God's grace. We need to cry out to God, humbly asking him to instill in us a spirit of meekness. And we can ask that. If we pray that prayer, if we ask him to grow that in us, we can feel confident that he is going to answer, because we're told in 1 John chapter 5, if we ask anything according to his will, he will do it. But we need to be asking continually, because we are always to be growing in grace. No matter how far along the journey we've come, no matter how spiritually mature we may or may not be, we still need to be growing in meekness. We also need to yoke ourselves to Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
You've been listening to Road to Calvary with Pastor Dave Cook. Thanks for tuning in. As we study the powerful words Jesus spoke on the Mount of Beatitudes, we pray that his words would positively impact the way you live your life day to day. It can be difficult to always be kind and to live according to God's word, but Jesus walks with you. He guides you. He will be the strength you need when those hard-to-be days come. If you're currently wrestling in your walk with Jesus or have a specific prayer request, we'd love to be a light for you. Feel free to reach out by calling us at 631-727-4112, and we'd be more than happy to pray for you. Again, that number is 631-727-4112. If you missed any part of today's teaching, or if you'd like to hear others from Pastor Dave, just visit cbcriverhead.org and click on the Sermons tab. Road to Calvary is a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Riverhead, New York. We're so thankful you've joined us today. If what you heard today was encouraging to you, we'd also like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:50 a.m. for a time of worship and Bible study. For directions and other information about Calvary Baptist Church, just visit our website. Again, that website was cbcriverhead.org. Come just as you are. We'd love to see you there. Well, our time with you is coming to an end, but we hope you'll join us again next time as we continue in this series with Pastor Dave, right here on Road to Calvary.